Well, we are second Sunday into a journey. And for those of you who weren't here, you got to join hands in the journey that we are on. Just want to give you a brief review before we continue into God's Word and looking at Matthew chapter 6. We looked last week at Luke 24, one of my favorite events, post-resurrection events of Jesus as he encounters Cleophas and this other disciple on the road to Emmaus. And we just looked at some words, and some of them maybe still resonating in your hearts and your minds, some words of disillusionment, doubt, discouragement, direction, devotion, and destination. All these words came seeping out of this passage, this event, as these two disciples were kept from seeing and recognizing Jesus, and then they all of a sudden knew. As Jesus revealed himself through the Moses and the prophets, they realized what happened, and they went back to Jerusalem from whence they came, and they were discouraged, but they went back with great devotion and a new destination. And so today, and in the coming weeks, next week, Pastor Dennis, many of you know him, he will be here for the induction service. I'm being induced. What does that say? Yikes. And I'm being installed. I don't know what software I have. I guess this is my software, amen? My hardware and software and program. Anyway, that'll preach some other Sunday. So Dennis will bring the message next week, but in the following weeks, I want to talk a bit about kingdom perspectives, and we're going to start a little bit here today, talking about kingdom perspectives and what keeps us from having a kingdom perspective. And how many of you would be willing to be open and honest with me right off the bat, make sure you're all awake, that you've had at least one worry in your mind this week? Anybody? At least one? Oh, a lot of honest people in this church. This is great. Praise the Lord. You know, I did too, a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about that and how worry can hinder our perspective and distract and send us into a place much like the disciples last week, a place of disillusionment, worry, doubt sometimes. And so I want to talk to us a little bit today. I did some looking online, and at least in Australia, I couldn't find anything Canadian, but in Australia, the top three worries are this: money and the future, job security, and relationships. Money and the future, job security, and relationships. Anybody relate about kind of having some, at least some concerns or worries about those three areas in your life? Maybe not this past week, but some point in time in your life? Absolutely. Yeah, we all have, haven't we? Well, oftentimes uncertainty brings concern or worry, right? Uncertainty about certain things. And there's a fellow who's a Harvard psychologist by the name of Daniel Gilbert. And he referred to a Dutch experiment. And I want to just bring that to our attention before we look at... I want to bring it down a little bit. There we go. Oh,
are you using the other
one? I'm using the other one. I can just move it over here. There we go. Perfect. A Dutch experiment where researchers told one group of people they would receive 20 strong shocks. The researchers then told a second group of people that they would receive only 3 strong shocks along with 17 mild ones. But they wouldn't know when the strong shocks would come. The results, subjects in the second group sweated more and experienced faster heart rates. It was the uncertainty that caused their discomfort, not the intensity of their shocks. The uncertainty of it, right? They both, you know, had these different things. So there's uncertainty causes us to worry, to want to take back control, right? Can anyone relate with that? Yeah. Well, the findings and the final quote of this Harvard psychologist, Daniel Gilbert, he concluded this: an uncertain future leaves us stranded in an unhappy present with nothing to do but wait. Our national gloom, oftentimes as a nation, is real enough, but it isn't a matter of insufficient funds. It's a matter of insufficient certainty. Isn't that so true at times, right? For those, hopefully not for those inside the church, but sometimes it is, right? We doubt, and we have those times where we're just kind of wavering a little bit. Insufficient certainty. We are living in uncertain times, and we are living in uncertain financial times. I want to pray for us, and I want us to look into this passage that Jesus talks about worry. Lord Jesus, we come to you. We give you this time today. We give you our hearts. We give you our minds, and that any concerns, any worries, or possible anxieties that may be upon us and working through us, Father, I want to just commit those to you. Because your word says to us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present our requests to you. And you promise to guard our hearts and our minds with the peace of Jesus Christ that passes all understanding. And so I commit all my friends here at Faith Community Baptist Church to you. And as we hear your word, as we read your word, may it just be something that refreshes our hearts, gives us new hope, gives us a new perspective, a kingdom perspective on our everyday lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles or tablets or other technological features that can allow you to read the Word, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I want to talk to us, first of all, of a bird's eye perspective. Do we worry or do we worship? Do we worry or do we worship? Looking at verses 25 through 27. Well, money can be a big hindrance to our journey with Jesus. And journey with Jesus. Money. We think about it, we give it, but it can be a distraction to us, can't it? Very easily. You know, and Jesus just got finished talking about money here. We look at verse 24 of chapter 6 of Matthew. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Any amens out there? Yeah, we cannot serve both God and money. It's not money that's the sin. It's the love of money, right? And that sometimes we live in such uncertain times, and that we think that we need to get money somehow, from some way or somewhere, and that not that we shouldn't have a focused perspective and a drive in our lives to be able to go after that, but when it consumes us, when that's all it is just a drive for money, just look how much I have in my bank account, not how generous I am, not how much I can give away or invest in the kingdom. It really comes down to a word, and we talked about it last week, devotion. Where's our devotion? Is our devotion to Jesus? Is our devotion to hold our wallets like this or like this? Is it our desire to hold our bank accounts and everything like this? I'm not going to get into a sermon on tithing. That's reserved for another time. But it's important to have our money be open before God. It's His anyway. Amen? It's His money. And so we must be not worried about it. I love the perspective. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Here's a man who had lots of money. I don't think it was even Solomon who quoted this. It was the other writer of Proverbs. But wonderful perspective, kingdom perspective on money and just provisions in general. It says this, "Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you, and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. What a balanced perspective. Amen? What a balanced perspective on money that this person who has written this proverb brings to us. And it echoes the prayer of Jesus, does it not? The prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, that give us today our daily bread, or in some translations, give us today the food we need. What a perspective. Give us today the food we need, our daily bread. Not more, not less, right? But just what we need. And boy, in our world today, the line between needs and wants is such a blurred line. Any amens for that? Ooh, you're like, oh, I don't like that sound, Pastor. Where's this going? Yeah, sometimes we blur that line. Well, all of the businesses just feed on that blurred line. You know that? When you watch something, you see something online or whatever, I need it, I want it, I have to have it. Well, it goes from, I need it. Well, you don't really need it. Do you really need that second tablet when you already have one? Do you really need that, that really fancy this or that? Or those really fancy shoes when you could buy something that's just sufficient? I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to have things, but where is the perspective on? Is it the love of things again? Or the love of money? Is it something that's trying to fulfill a need in your life that God needs to fulfill? Where there's uncertainty there? There's uncertainty about your life or your finances? Or maybe you grew up in a family that never really got to have nice stuff. And you want that nice stuff. You don't need it, but you want it. Ask God to help you in these days to discern if it's a need or if it's a want. Is it just something that's trying to fulfill an anxiety that's deep within you that needs to be filled by Jesus? Well, let's take a lesson right now from the birds. We can learn about faith from birds. Isn't that great? Jesus used so many word pictures. We read here, "Is not life more important than food and body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Yes, we are. Look at the birds. They are provided for. My wife and my mom really enjoy watching birds. I don't know how many of you in here really like watching birds. Anyone? Bird watchers? Oh, we got lots of... Yeah. Isn't it wonderful just to see them? They just go about their day, and some of them have really annoying kind of calls, and they get on your nerves. Like jays or whatever. Oh. But there's other ones that are beautiful, and they have beautiful songs. Like, I love the red-winged blackbird. Beautiful, beautiful sounding bird. My mom just told me the other day where she lives that there was robins sitting outside, and they were for a long time, many of them, and they're just devouring. They're having a worm buffet, and God provided that for them, right? Provided those worms for them to eat, and now that it's cold, there I saw a couple. I don't know, maybe there's more in your yards than in my yard, but there's not too many left. They might be headed down to Lethbridge, where I hear it's tropical weather. But the birds, God provides for them, right? And how much more valuable are we than the birds? I love this, and it is a very challenging verse, this next one. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? What a powerful verse for us. Who of you by worrying, by having anxiety, by giving into that uncertainty can add a single hour? I want you guys, just for a second, because this is an American illustration, just to put your American imaginations on for a second, okay? Because we as Canadians, the mint got rid of the penny a little while ago, so I just want you to put your imaginations back. Some of you might not be too hard to do that, to put the penny back into your thinking. So just think about this for a second. We have 86,400 seconds every day. Let's pretend for a second that you receive a gift of 86,400 pennies for every day the rest of your life. The problem is that you must spend each day's allotment before the day ends. What would you do? Would you probably plan carefully to use those pennies and not waste any? Now think about our real lives. We'll probably not receive the pennies, but we receive 86,000, all of us, receive 86,400 seconds every day. How are we using them? psalmist says in Psalm 90, verse 12, these words, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." Or, "Teach us how to use our seconds wisely." How do we use our time? Do we use it by worrying? Do we fill it up with anxiety-filled moments? Or do we fill it up with worship? We can't add a single hour to our lives. We know, we see, as I thought about this, I'm like, well, God added time, but it wasn't because of worry, it was because of war. I encourage you to read the powerful story of Joshua in Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, where he stopped the sun. What an interesting picture there. Scientists have proved that. It's another sermon. So our lives as Christians shouldn't be defined by worry, what we worry about. And I thought about this, and I was thinking about the word worry and thinking about the word concern. And I'll leave it up to you, but as I thought about it and prayed about it, the word worry to me kind of connotates a feeling. And we're not totally supposed to base our lives as Christians on feeling. It's supposed to be based on faith and the facts of God's word, right? And sometimes the uncertainty of the times and things kind of come in on us, and we do worry. But the word concern, to me, connotates a little bit more of a facts-based. We could be concerned about things and not necessarily worry. I'll let you decide what phraseology you use, but ultimately, the true perspective that we need to have is worship. How are we using our minds? How are we using our thoughts? We know that God provides for us, right? And we can't add a single hour to our lives by stressing and worrying about things. So we just need to give our thoughts and attitudes over to Him. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, these words, and these words have been such a comfort to me in my life. You know, we don't battle as the world battles, right? We take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ. Every thought. And that's every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take that captive. So some of these things like worry or anxiety, they can paralyze us in a place where we don't want to move forward. Our perspective is skewed. Our destination is more focused here than here or here, right? When you worry, you're trying to take back control, oftentimes, right? Especially if you're controlled by worry. And so then our perspective, much like the disciples last week that we talked about, they were concerned. They had a sense of, well, they were, of course, you know, downtrodden. They were downcast, the word says there. Their gaze was here instead of here or here. And that doesn't mean we don't grieve, and they were in a state of grief. But we need to be careful. And I just give us a caution today that God looks after us. God takes care of us. And as I look at my own life, moving here from Whitewood, Saskatchewan, God has taken care of Sherry, my wife, and our family, all of us. Because we've just given it over to Him. There's been times that I've been concerned, oh, I don't know about this or that, but God has always been there. Just giving it over to Him. So how do we gain an even greater perspective? Well, second point is by putting on kingdom clothes. I just want you guys to watch, if we can get that up there, Craig. This is just a quick 3-minute video by a man by the name of Lecrae. We weren't able to splice it, so you may hear a little bit of not the illustration, but if we can get that up there, that would be great.
For an event, and Beverly Hills to be exact. And something about Beverly Hills, when you get to Beverly Hills, you feel a little something. You know, you get a little Beverly Hills-ish. I just had the urge for like plastic surgery or something. I don't know what it was. So I'm in Beverly Hills, and I go to this department store because I needed a t-shirt. Just a regular t-shirt. Plain t-shirt. Hanes BPT. Nothing serious. But I go to this Beverly Hills department store. I'm going through the rack. I find a t-shirt, just a regular t-shirt like many of you are wearing right now. I pick up the t-shirt. I look at the price tag. And I said, oh, they must have messed up. Somebody put the wrong price tag on the shirt. So let me grab another shirt. And I grab another shirt, and it's the same price as the last one, $640. No, I'm not joking. A $640 t-shirt. I'm thinking to myself, what kind of gold fabric is woven into this Hanes beefy tee? So I'm like, maybe I'm tripping, maybe something's different. Let me go to a different rack. I start looking and I come to find out those t-shirts were on a sale rack. So I put my pride aside. I went to go holler at the guy at the register. I said, my dog, you got to help me out. You got to explain to me why the shirt costs $640. I need to know if I wear this shirt, is some kind of healing going to take place in my body? Am I going to become a mutant? What's going to happen if I wear this $640 shirt? I said, what is it, man? Something in it? Like the material? He was like, no, it's cotton, dash of polyesters. So I'm like, well, help me understand then, why is this shirt $640? He says, well, it's the designer, man. The designer's name on it adds value to it. It's valuable because of who designed it. Do you understand you're valuable because of whose name is on you? Do you understand your worth and your value comes from whose name is on you? Do you understand that God's glory is stitched in your genes? You're here to glorify Him. I didn't even mean to make that gene joke. But since...
Anyone wearing jeans here this morning? No. Love that illustration. Isn't that so true? As we look at this, verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow was thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Clothed with kingdom clothes. Think about that for a second. Gives us perspective. Everyone of you here put on clothes this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Whew. Oh, there we go. But think about it for a second. When you put on your clothes, do you put on Christ in your mind, in your heart, when you put on your clothes? I know that we have, many of us here, hopefully most of us have a daily quiet time. And when we get close and we press into the heart of Jesus, right? We worship Him, however that looks for you. But, I heard an illustration just the other day about the armor of God. Many of you know it from Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, right? The helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shoes of peace, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. Well, this one person said to me, there's so many Christians walking around with only a helmet on. Right? Wow. We need to be putting on that clothing because, you know what? We have a divine designer. We have a divine designer. His name is Jesus Christ. He's made each of us unique. Each of us is special. And by worrying, by trying to take back control, by trying to take back that creative focus, trying to create our own and control our own lives, it's at a great cost, folks. It's at a great cost to us. Because we don't get to experience all that Jesus has for each and every one of us. I want us to think of probably one of your favorite, all of our favorite Sunday school stories. David and Goliath. There's more than just five smooth stones, a sling, and that's the big picture perspective, right? That he did that, but there's something behind that story that just came alive once again to me this week. So we look at 1 Samuel 17:37. God provided for David. We read about David trying to put on Saul's armor, and it didn't fit. Then he went out against Goliath just with a sling and 5 smooth stones. He didn't need God's armor. He didn't need Saul's armor. He had God's armor. Why? He had a confidence and a focus because he put on God and he trusted in God. He trusted in his name. We read in 1 Samuel 17:37, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Any of you cattlemen out there ever killed a bear with your bare hands? Anybody? Have you tried it? No, I don't think so. Have you ever? There's no lions out there. I'm sure there's mountain lions. I'm sure you have some of those. David did both of those things, not by his own strength, but by the strength of Almighty God. Wow. And that same God that protected David and gave him the strength to do that with those ferocious animals is the same God we serve today. Is there a lion or bear in your life that's trying to get at you? Is there a giant in your life? Is it your bank statement that comes in every month? That's the giant looking you in the face that says, "I can't, I won't, I don't know how. God, where are you?" Have you put on Jesus Christ? Because his clothing, the identity that we have in him is worth much more than any $640 shirt. We all have the opportunity and the privilege and the honor to invite Jesus and his Holy Spirit to come in and clothe us from the inside out, so that when we walk out of this place today, that we are not taking control back, we are releasing control. We have a kingdom perspective. So why do we worry, saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" For pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. Amen? Every good and perfect gift comes from the heavenly Father. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What does that look like? Romans 13 tells us a little bit of what that looks like. Verses 11 through 14. "And do this, understanding the present time," Paul says. "The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, and not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the word of Jesus Christ." That's put in there, but... "Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Worry may not lead to sexual morality or debauchery, but I look at dissension and jealousy. Worry often creates envy. Worry can create jealousy, because we don't have what the other guy has. We're not being looked after the way that, look at how great that other person is. It produces keeping up with the Jones-itis, right? We have those things. Put on Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Doesn't mean that we sometimes have concerns. But just as long as we live with open hands and giving them over to him. What happened after David killed Goliath and chopped off his head? I love this. 1 Samuel 17:52. "Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout." They were all quaking in their boots. They were filled with fear. They were filled with anxiety, worry, concern over how to defeat this giant. And then they surged forward after he was gone. When we seek God's kingdom, when we put on the clothing of Christ, folks, listen to this. We surge forward. We seek the kingdom of God. We seek his righteousness. We want to have that focus in our lives. That is our perspective. That is a kingdom perspective, not of this world. Because we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, Paul says, into the kingdom of light. Do we focus on light instead of darkness? Do we focus on the things of this world, or do we focus on the kingdom? They surged forward, and they defeated the Philistines. Says there. worry and fear had left. The nation of Israel was stripped from them just like a garment and was put on to the Philistines. We too can surge forward. Paul says to us this in Colossians 3:12, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's much better than any $640 shirt. Amen? Much better. People in the world need to see us clothing ourselves every day with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've gone through this week. I don't know, but Jesus does. Jesus knows what you've gone through. He's been tempted just as we are, all are, yet was without sin. That's what seeking His kingdom is about. It's about putting our needs last and His focus first. We have a designer. We have a software designer that knows how to get the best out of us, right? And that we just get to give Him everything, and the viruses will be obliterated, will be taken away, and we walk through that. You know, sometimes when we seek the kingdom first and His righteousness, you know, it's not all roses. And I'm not saying that up here, that when you put your focus on Jesus Christ, that all of a sudden, oh yeah, it's just going to be like Wizard of Oz. No, it's not. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Can we overcome worry and anxiety in our lives with Jesus Christ as our focus? Amen? Amen. Amen? Yes. Amen. Do you want that in your life? Do we want that life where we, yeah, when the worry comes to us, when the bills come in the mail, when those things come up and try to assault us and try to take away our joy, try to take away our perspective, and we say, oh, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to make it through this next week? We say, Jesus, have your way. Have your kingdom. I seek your kingdom. I seek your righteousness. Seeking His kingdom is seeking that right standing with Him and seeing the potential, folks. There's a key word here. We all have problems in this life, okay? But we got to see the potential in those problems, the kingdom potential that's there, not just look at the problem. Because if we look at a problem this close, all we're going to see is the problem. Right? But when we put on the lenses of the kingdom, we're going to see the potential that's there in the other person, in our bank accounts, in whatever we can do. These are all just tools for God to work through us. And then we'll be able to overcome the worries and the problems and the issues in our lives. Righteousness, seeking His righteousness. There's nothing we can do that will bring right standing before God. Amen? There's nothing that we can do. It's not by works, right? We read that in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Right? It's not, we don't gain our righteousness through works. It's a faith that works, not a faith by works. It's not a faith. It's a faith that works. It's an outworking. And so we seek those things. We seek His face. And all these things will be given unto you. All. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. I think that ties in here, that when we seek the kingdom, we delight in Him, He'll give us those desires. Right? Delighting in Him, loving Him, seeing the potential in every person in this room, in every person in Claire's home. That's how people come into the kingdom, you know that? When we clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and we put on compassion and patience and love, people see Jesus in us. They don't see a person who's just bound up in worry. But we also, as I mentioned last week, we need to be open and honest about our concerns and where we've been in order that people can see what Christ has done in us. Right? Different conversations that I've even been able to have these last few weeks with a few people, and where their focus was and where their focus is now. And some people, where their focus is right now is just a place of deep worry and concern. And, well, where's our country going, or what's happening with this? Or I have these friends that I know of that they're just having real problems making decisions. Well, we need to continue to put on that clothing of Jesus Christ every day, every moment of every day. And all these things will be given to us as well. Sometimes they may not come as something that is there right away. It may take lots of prayer. It may take lots of different things that need to happen in our lives and giving things over. But I want us to be a people. I want to be a person that is not consumed by worry, but consumed by worship. That my life, that our lives, and when people look at Faith Community Baptist Church, do they see a people that are consumed looking inward? Or are we looking out, upward and outward? This is what Jesus is saying to the people here. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We will have trouble in this life. Jesus promised us that. But we take heart that we can overcome that trouble. Not by worrying. Not by worrying, but by worshiping. Where's the focus? Where's the perspective? Right? Where's the perspective of our lives? I want to pray for us. And if any of you are here today and you just have concerns, you have worries, whatever it may be, however you want to term that, I want you to give them over. I want to give you a moment or two to give them over. And I want to pray a prayer that has meant a lot to me. It's a written prayer. I don't often use written prayers, but I'm going to pray that prayer. But I want to just give you some moments to reflect and release. So let's do that now. Just take a few moments. Quiet our hearts, quiet our minds. These remaining moments of quietness and reflection and release. If you have sensed that, you know what, I've just released these things, whether it be your finances or your relationships or the future, that you feel that you've released that as a sign, as an outward sign of an inward change, of an inward release, I would just ask you to take both of your hands and place them palms up in front of you. I've released. Just as a sign to God. Your eyes are closed, your neighbor's not going to see or anything like that, but that's just as a sign. Say, you know what? I give you everything, Jesus. I've given it to you. Thank you for taking it. Father, thank you for each and every one of us who have had things to release to you in this quiet moment. Father, I pray that even in these moments as we close our time together, as we sing, Father, that if there's still something that's just nagging at us, that we wouldn't leave this place without doing business with you, without leaving this place and having the same perspective, the same things that are controlling us as when we came in. Whether it be worry over finances or whatever. Father, I just lift all of those things on behalf of the congregation of Faith Community Baptist Church, Father. I just lift them all to you, Father God, that you say, come to me, all you're weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I pray that there be a restful perspective, that there would be a desire to walk closer, as we sang earlier, with you, just a closer walk with you, Jesus. That we wouldn't let things distract. We wouldn't let things undermine or determine our perspective. And so, Father God, I pray that if there's still anyone here who just, there's something nagging at them, that they would be able to release that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I commit my friends to you now. In the mighty and powerful and kingdom-focused name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before Kevin comes back up, just want to pray for you guys. The worship team comes, and just this is a more of a benediction in a way. Some of you may know the benediction of St. Patrick. This is something that just is a real focus for me at times as I've gone through my walk of faith. It's called St. Patrick's Breastplate. May the strength of God guide me this day, and may his power preserve me. May the wisdom of God instruct me. May the eye of God watch over me. May the ear of God hear me. The word of God give sweetness to my speech. The hand of God defend me, and may I follow the way of God. Christ be with me, Christ before me. Christ be after me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ at my right hand, Christ at my left, Christ in the fort, Christ in the chariot, Christ in the ship, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. For his glory, for his kingdom's sake. That, folks, is a kingdom perspective. Would you come, Kevin?